Hello.
You're on with Nick and Fiona.
I loved it. I've seen it millions of times.
Welcome to The Playlist, where we talk about movies and TV shows that are worth your time. I'm Fiona Williams, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nick Bassine. Hey, Nick, what are we talking about today?
Fiona, today we're talking about a new motion picture film, Aladdin, which is out this week. We are talking about Game of Thrones, the finale. And TV finales more broadly, satisfying ones, unsatisfying ones. And then, of course, we're talking about what we've been watching. But first, Aladdin.
Oh, great one who summons me, I stand by my oath, loyalty to Wishes 3.
I'm kidding. Watch this.
Watch out! You done wound me up, you ain't never had a friend like me.
Hey, can you make me a prince?
There is a lot of gray area in make me a prince. I could just make you a prince.
Oh, no.
Y'all see my palace?
You look like a prince on the outside, but I didn't change anything on the inside. Showtime.
Don't you dare close your eyes. So we both saw this movie last night.
Correct.
I couldn't believe how packed it was in that advanced screening.
Why? Anyway, it was.
I just couldn't believe that there were that many grown-ups that wanted to see live-action Aladdin. I had a hard time with it.
Okay. Well, I have nothing to say to that. Brought their kids.
It made it seem like it's going to be a huge hit.
Well, I fondly remember the Robin Williams version, and I think there's curiosity, how are they going to do this?
What is your relationship with the original cartoon? Have you seen it many, many times?
Not many, many. And it occurred to me walking out, it's been a long time. I saw it back in the cinema in 1992.
It's over 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Correct. Not a lot since, I have to admit. But, you know, the Robin Williams voice and the antics you associate with the character, you know, it is quite fondly remembered, even though I haven't connected with it ever since. But I was very curious to see how Will Smith would take that and make it his own.
Yeah.
Or not.
I had a very close relationship with this movie, partly because everybody was brown in it. I was very excited about that. I got into the music, which now, you know, I'm starting to question those choices. But I got the soundtrack. I thought Robin Williams was hilarious. I loved it. I've seen it millions of times. And so going into this, I was like a lot of these, like all of these live action Disney remakes, I've been very skeptical. And my skepticism was validated, I think.
Okay.
As soon as Will Smith, at the very beginning, starts singing, I knew I was in big trouble.
See, at first I was concerned as well. I think the film takes probably half an hour to find its feet.
Oh, my God. It's so long and slow.
It is 2 hours long. Yes.
And because I remember the original so well, I kept thinking, well, we got to get through that part and that part. When is this thing going to end? It's over 2 hours. A children's movie.
Yes, correct. I do think it does find its feet, though. It settles into a rhythm, but it's a bumpy start. I absolutely agree. People who know the storyline, you go into the cave and get the lamp and out pops the genie. That is not a spoiler in any way, shape or form. He does a big number that I don't think, well, I was a bit worried.
Which big number were you worried
about? Well, when he first pops out and does...
Never had a friend like me.
Didn't love it. I do think then once they get outside and you get to know the genie a little more, it settles in and I think he does make something of the character.
I don't want to be totally negative about it. I think there are some charming moments. Mm. I think some of the interplay between Will Smith and Aladdin are, you know, they're fun. They're funny. There's some when he's, you know, eating his words and making a fool out of himself when he first meets the princess as a prince. That was kind of fun. I didn't mind him making him dance with his hands.
Yeah, there's some very physical performances in this that are quite fun. And they are helped by the fact that he's live action now. So it is funny when someone is gesturing to make someone dance who is a real person and it's not just a cartoon doing it.
But aside from that, I thought this works so much better as a cartoon. I think the hokiness of the music is much easier to swallow in the cartoon. I thought the genie looked terrible. And I felt like
visually looked terrible. Really?
I couldn't tell where Will Smith was looking most of the time. And you can tell it's just his face on some CGI Shrek, blue Shrek, And and sometimes it looked like he was talking to Aladdin, but his eyes were going off in a different direction. It was terrifying.
The eyes are always the tell. It's the whole Uncanny Valley thing. Yeah.
It's bad I'll give you news.
That. See, I didn't. Well, like I said, with the dancing, and there's certain scenes where they're making the most of the fact that he's live action now, that it has a bit of fun with that moment. I don't think the songs are hokey. I think...
I mean, they're very familiar to me, so it's not like... I don't hate the music because I've heard it millions and millions of times. Just in a live action musical, I mean, I'm not also not a big fan of musicals in general.
You keep saying that. I don't know. Are you sure?
I love old musicals. Mm. Like A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. Mm. That's my favorite musical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Les Miserables and, you know, some mm-hmm. of the biggins. There's some good songs in those, mm-hmm. Phantom of the Opera, what have you. But I think it's just so hard to pull off now. My favorite movie musical, aside from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, might be Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably not pronouncing it that properly, but that's a great movie. Anyway.
Uh-huh. All That Jazz? No.
Haven't seen it.
Okay. You should.
Yes. No, I know. That's definitely on the list. It's been on the list for a long time. I have to say I appreciated Will Smith's energy, but all I kept thinking about was Robin Williams mm-hmm. and how much better Robin Williams was, because his fast talking shtick just works much better. And Will Smith was kind of trying to do a version of it with a Fresh Prince.
Very Fresh Prince. Yeah.
And it started to make it feel old to me. It felt, yeah, I've seen him do that stuff. And I think he's obviously very charming and talented and funny, but I felt like he was dragging out an old persona. It didn't feel new and fresh.
Pardon the pun.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. I don't know. Apart from that first 20 minutes, half an hour, where I thought, oh, my God, what is this? What fresh hell is this? But no pun intended there either.
Yeah, right.
I think it was a winking acknowledgement of the Fresh Prince that he brought into it. And I don't know to what extent it rests on your curiosity of how is he going to be different from Rob Williams.
Mm. I don't think he bombs.
No, not at all. Yeah, yeah.
I think sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Mm. I thought when it worked the most was when the banter was really fast between him and Aladdin. That felt new, and mm-hmm. I wanted more of that rather than him doing the Robin Williams bits. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of that. All of the stuff where they try to do the cartoon, I think, felt tired. It was only when it went in new directions, except for that horrible new song, which I did not care for. They have to give her her girl power moment, so they give her that "I'm going to speak up."
Oh, I think that was pretty good. I think she did that really well. Yeah, Naomi Scott, who plays Princess Jasmine.
Yeah,
that's another element that is refreshed. Again, no pun intended. I'm just going to keep saying fresh.
Keep saying fresh.
But Princess Jasmine gets more of a role here.
She does, except in the cartoon, she gets a song to do by herself, which
I don't mind. But she sings it very well.
Oh, she leaves it all out on the floor, as they say.
Yeah, it's a musical. Why wouldn't you? You don't do things by halves. No, I thought she was great. And I think
she was good, and the lead.
Mina Massoud, like, for live action versions of Disney cartoons, like, they are very much...
Well, he looks exactly like the
personification. Yeah,
they're both, I think, very good looking.
Yeah, yeah,
and that goes a long way in a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, if people are easy on the eyes, that only helps things along. And I thought they were good. I thought they were both good.
Yeah,
I didn't mind them at all. I wondered about a lot of effort clearly went into the set design, making this place look like something. So for me, it felt like a bit of shiny Epcot Center. Have you ever been to Epcot Center?
I have not, but I know of it. But
so Epcot Center,
that reference doesn't mean a lot to me.
Is the part of Disney World in Florida where it's all the different countries just full of cliches and stereotypes. And, you know, there's a beer hall for Germany, and Oktoberfest is going on. And it felt like a version of that where it's a Disney-fied fake Middle East.
Mm.
And I started to think, this is pointless. If you're going to remake this movie, I found myself wanting to just get, it should be in all Arabic. Everybody should be speaking Arabic. I know that's never going to happen, but they should be all speaking Arabic. they should just make it kind of gritty and real. I thought that would have been so much cooler, but instead it's just got this sheen around it that I didn't like. But it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's a Disney kids movie, and true. I mean, there is a bit of rubble and he has a little bit of stubble. That's probably as gritty as you're going to get.
Great once again, great looking kid. That stubble really works for him.
Yeah, the 5 o'clock shadow really looks great.
I don't even know how you do that. It's so carefully. Anyway, I've been spending 5 years trying to get that look.
Okay. Well, anywho, when he's, you know, grungy old Aladdin as opposed to gleaming Prince Ali. Yeah, that's your contrast in worldviews, shall we say. But were you expecting it to be?
No, God, no.
Cinema verite.
No, I saw the trailer. The trailer was The trailer, it met my expectations. I didn't think it looked great, and I didn't think it was. But I was just, while I was in there, I was thinking, how interesting would it have been if they made this? And I just come away from watching Game of Thrones, and maybe like people were actually getting murdered, and it was just nasty and real. How exciting would that have been?
Yeah.
I would have been all there for that. And they just, you don't cast Americans. What the hell are these people doing speaking with an American accent, even if it's made up Agrabah, you know? Stuff like that.
It was accented.
Not for the leads.
Yeah, other people.
Other people.
Yeah.
And the friend. I liked she was charming. The handmaid. She was nice.
Look, we're all over the place on this. Guy Ritchie directed it.
That was another, I didn't realize that going in. Mm-hmm. And when I saw his name, I thought, I'm in even more trouble. He is up and down.
Curious choice.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. I really haven't given it much of a thought since. But also I wouldn't expect to be reflecting on it for a long time afterwards. It didn't affect me. I thought it, particularly Naomi Scott's song about Speechless, I thought that was actually really good. And the moment in the film, the way she sang the song and put all her heart and soul into it, I thought was an effective moment the film needed.
Let me ask you about this. I don't think there are strong attacks just yet. Maybe there will be more. But claims or accusations of a cultural appropriation, of a whitewashing of Middle Eastern culture, of the cast is, or the leads are not, their background is not Middle Eastern.
No, in fact, I did say to myself during the movie, where exactly is this set? It's a diverse cast. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not strictly from any particular region, but it is a diverse cast. It's just not specifically relevant to Aladdin.
Right.
Yeah.
So compared to the cartoon, which is an all-white cast, all-white voice cast, they've got some brown people at least, and they're passing, I suppose. But do you think, given the Disney approach and given how shiny Agrabah or whatever looks, it's probably not that important that everybody have Middle Eastern background, but
wouldn't be bad if they did.
It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. Instead it is a broad range of people of color in this film.
I should correct myself. The lead, Nina Masood is Egyptian.
He's Egyptian.
He's Egyptian Canadian.
Yeah.
He's not American. Sorry. Sorry, Mina. Canadians don't like it when you mistake them for Americans.
I'm aware of that. Yeah, Naomi Scott is British of British Indian heritage. And Marwan Kenzari, who plays the baddie.
Jafar.
He is Dutch, Tanzanian heritage.
Jafar was so much funnier in the cartoon. He was allowed to have a sense of humor. And this one, he's just a nasty guy with a chip on his shoulder. I like that they gave him a little bit of a backstory where he used to be a street rat too and everything. And that was, but they could have made him a little bit more, if they weren't going to make him funny, at least they could make him, we're a little bit conflicted about defeating this person who has come up.
Risen through the ranks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you're a villain. Have some fun with it.
Yeah. Have a little
Villains
fun.
Villains should be the best. Role.
Also, his parrot is played by Gilbert Gottfried in the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And that is much more entertaining than whatever this parrot was doing.
We mentioned Guy Ritchie directed this. He co-wrote it with John August,
who's a big-time screenwriter of Big Fish.
A lot of Tim Burton movies. So Frankenweenie, the Willy Wonka.
What was his first one? It was that one.
Go.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, great writer.
Yeah.
And Guy Ritchie's, he has plenty of good movies, sort of.
Not
two,
lately.
Three.
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes is fun.
Okay. Will Smith, I think it works. I was very worried, as I said, going in, because he's coming off a few let's say.
Yeah,
drugs.
Do you remember when his strategy came out, was publicized about how he was making hit after hit?
His strategy?
He said that he very specifically goes after certain kinds of roles, certain kinds of scripts, and because he had had a huge run that included Independence Day and just a bunch of huge movies. It's not working anymore. Because I don't think anybody's, well, I don't think any of these movies are good.
Oh, well, I mean, Suicide Squad for me. No. Then he did the one that went to Netflix, Bright.
Oh, that was awful.
Yes. Then it's been a while since it's a Will Smith movie. I mean, he went serious with Concussion a couple of years ago, which was very good, but that didn't set the world alight. But no, I mean, I really like him when he does play the more serious roles, sort of Six
Ali.
Degrees of Separation is fantastic.
Yeah.
Ali. Yeah,
he's good. He's definitely good.
For sure. He's just that strategy maybe needs an update. But mind you, this is a huge risk doing this outsized performance.
Yeah.
I don't think he's humiliated himself by doing it. I think he does a decent job.
No, I think I didn't end up feeling bad about him at all. But yet it still wasn't Robin Williams.
Oh, no.
So that's Aladdin. It's in theaters now. Go see it. Tell us what you think. All right, so now we come to the part of the show where we talk about what we've been watching. We can lead off with, I watched the end of Game of Thrones, the biggest and most important TV show of all time.
Says you and a few
apparently,
other people.
Yeah, apparently.
Not me.
You haven't seen it.
No.
You haven't been watching the show at all.
No, I haven't, but I'm aware of it. You can't escape that it's on and that it's final.
Yeah,
Look, and I'm not snooty about not watching it. I just happen to not watch it. You know, I see all the references, so I look up what does that mean just so I can have some cultural reference points. But anyway, I haven't seen it. So what do you think? Did it adequately meet your expectations?
I am, because of the way this last season was going. So for people who aren't familiar, it's is an adaptation of George R.R. Martin's books.
Yes.
But he stopped writing them at some point.
Yes.
And it hasn't finished the last book. And so the TV show had to go on, I believe, with an outline from him. So he has a hand in this story. But to me, you can tell there's a marked difference between when they're going off on their own and when they're adapting the books. And, you know, I started to feel bad for them because there's just no way they were going to satisfy crazy Game of Thrones fans whose expectations have been set so high because the show... It has been something special for many, many seasons. The last couple, not so much. And then I just felt like they were rushing it and they had to wrap all these really complicated storylines up and millions of characters and just seemed like an impossible task. And so I didn't like how it ended. It certainly was not satisfying in any way, but I felt like you took your best shot. It's an ending. I didn't want to be one of those people screaming about how unsatisfying and terrible it was because that's just, it's a little bit tiring.
See, that is a consequence of fandom that I despise these days where it's people feel ownership to the extent that they launch a petition to do over the season they think
crazy.
Is not great. Just get over yourselves. And it's the same toxic fandom that starts all the man babies about gender swap movies. And
it's insane.
It's the same coin, same side of the coin sort of thing. It's not much of a step to become thoroughly objectionable if you feel umbrage at the way makers of your favorite show deal with your favorite show.
The only show I've ever felt that way about is maybe The Simpsons. And I was furious when it took what I saw to be a downturn after season 8.
Mm.
And I thought, they are ruining this show. But
you just kind of stop watching if you feel that way.
You just stop watching and you move on with things.
Also, jumping the shark is not new.
No, it happens. It happens when people are getting together and trying to make and being creative.
Imagine all the letters to Happy Days when Fonzie literally jumped that shark and started this all the years ago.
They would have been furious. So I think Game of Thrones is a very special show. I re-binged it in preparation for the finale because there's 5 years in between each season and you never know. My most burning question is, who is that guy? What's that person's name? Because you forget everything.
5 years between seasons.
Well, 1 year.
Okay.
I'm exaggerating.
Okay. I don't know. So I took you literally then.
It's a lot. It takes a long time. It was 10 years all told for these 8 seasons. And what I thought it did great was it would surprise you, right? It would kill off major characters in the middle of their storylines, and they've got YouTube videos of people watching certain episodes, and that's fun. And it was maybe the last, aside from, I guess, reality shows, but the last kind of drama where that was appointment television. I don't know what other shows people watch like that, where it's a good got to sit down and watch it when everybody else is watching.
It feels like the world is watching with you.
Yeah, yeah. But in the last season, they rushed it. I wasn't satisfied by much of it. There were some nice moments, but yeah, it's an ending. So other controversial endings, things like The Sopranos, which goes out on it's just a smash to black. People were very upset about that. It's just hard to pull these things off. Breaking Bad, I thought, had a very satisfying ending, but it's also, it was a lot to swallow because he orchestrates this tremendous big win. Something like Mad Men.
Loved it.
Had a big I guess it was sort of controversial because he...
I don't know. I think it was perfect for the character.
It looked like he was falling apart, right? But then he...
Well,
it brings it all back in with a big
absolutely,
coke ad.
Yeah. So it looks like Don Draper's finally going to have a path to self enlightenment and leave all that nasty ad business behind, and maybe accept his real identity. And no, it just gives him a great idea for an ad. I think it's perfect. It was the perfect ending.
I liked
it.
I definitely liked it. I think one of the best endings is 6 Feet Under, because oh my god, it's a highly volatile and emotional show. People screaming at each other for 6 seasons. And then at the end, just this family, you watch them just grow old really quickly. And it ends with the Sia song that is just knock you on your backside, intense and good. I mean, they didn't go the Roseanne direction where it's turns out it's all a figment of her imagination. That was weird. St. Elsewhere. Are you familiar with this show? Hospital show.
Yeah, I know the show, but not
at the end. The whole show was in an autistic boy's mind.
Oh.
Yeah. Lost, probably one of the least satisfying endings
Never
ever.
Never watched it.
So, yeah.
Golden Girls, Dorothy got married.
Did she?
Yeah.
Good for her. So, yeah.
Seinfeld, terrible.
Really bad. Everyone hated it. Oh, universally hated, right?
You know what? They did it at the time, but I'm seeing a lot of revisionist lists of best endings and whatnot.
Not so bad.
Seinfeld's on there. I don't think so. I think people who didn't watch it at the time, maybe not remembering it. Or not remembering it full stop.
I buy that these people are horrible, so the right place for them to end up is in jail because they're all selfish and terrible. I don't know. I could have done that.
Yeah, it was stupid. Yeah. See, I think a good ending maybe is just another episode that you don't have to feel the pressure of finishing all of this. I mean, Game of Thrones, from what I understand, led up to who's going to own the Iron Throne or whatever the hell. But sure, that had to go there. Other shows are leading up to a culmination of something in the momentum of the story. Others, certainly a sitcom.
Just another episode. Yeah. In fact,
and we're out.
A great ending is in The Wire, where it's business as usual.
Yeah.
Because life goes on. And that's a very powerful ending.
Yeah. Sometimes don't try so hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my theory.
Good tip.
Thanks.
Let's get those Game of Thrones guys on the air.
Yeah.
So, that's what I've been watching. What have you been watching?
Something completely different. Wine Country.
Yes.
The Amy Poehler directed.
I've been reading about it.
Okay. Yeah. Just caught it on Netflix. It's very charming. It is story of, I think it's 5 female friends getting away for one of their 50th. They don't see each other very much. They get together at a sort of a beautiful B&B in Napa Wine Country in, is it Southern California?
Northern
California, my apologies. And hilarity, tears, drunken raucousness ensues. It's funny.
Who's in it?
Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Paula Pell, Tina Fey, sort of briefly, Jason Schwartzman, sort of playing Jason Schwartzman.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very good. Nothing incredibly remarkable, but I think it's really well written. It's a nice movie. Nice. I'm killing it with kindness, but I had a couple of laughs. That's all.
Sounds like it's really okay.
It is really okay.
Yeah, all right.
I'm damning it with faint praise, maybe. Don't mean to. It
sounds like a pleasant romp.
It is. Like it does actually suffer from the same issue of a lot of movies about female friendship that are also comedies that do have a little bit of raunchy as well. There's always kind of like a group hug moment or it just needs to cut out that. Hugs. Yeah. You know, like you didn't get that with The Hangover or anything. I just feel sometimes there's too much. We need, like, we, these women go crazy, but then they all have a hug, and maybe Dabble's a little bit too much in that.
Okay.
So it minus points, but it was fun.
Does it feel fresh because of it's about female, older female friendships? Not, you don't necessarily see that a lot.
Yeah, they've got lived experience. Yeah, yeah, everyone's got their baggage, and I had fun.
All right. So that's Wine Country.
Game of Thrones, I'll give you that.
So that's Wine Country. It's on Netflix. And that's it for our show. Make sure you subscribe and leave a rating. Five stars for the playlist, wherever you subscribe to your podcasts. If you want to get in touch, you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at SBS Movies. I'm on Twitter at Nick Bassine.
I'm on Twitter at Anything But Fifi.
The playlist is produced by Jeremy Wilmot. See you next week.
Thanks for listening.